Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome back to your Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and I am joined today by Chris McIlwain. It's Chris's second appearance on the show this week. He was missing it so much, he thought he'd come on for more double denim. There you are. Great to see you, sir. And, of course, every single day we are joined by the cast of thousands in the shape of the Axom audience. You guys, let us know your thoughts on all things Celtic. There's been a few developments this morning. We're going to be talking about them. Interestingly enough, Liam Scales was discussed yesterday, Chris, and we hear this morning that he has penned a four-year deal. We were asking that question. It was pointed out yesterday that Scales' deal is up at the end of May next year. So he was moving into his last year of his contract, and Celtic are delighted to announce that Liam Scales has agreed a new four-year deal, which will see him remain at the club in 2028. That seems pretty futuristic. 2028. Remember when you were at school, Chris, and the school teacher would ask you to draw what you think 2000's going to look like? Remember? And it was like future. There was always flying cars. There was always a flying car.
You know,
2028, right? And we've got Liam Scales playing with Celtic. Did you think that was the future?
I wasn't sure I was going to make it 2028, let alone, see Liam Scales as a Celtic player. I think it's Celtic protecting their investment, to be fair. I mean, I think it's if he's only got a year to go, there could be good business sense and giving him the four-year deal. But I think it's also a testament to the faith that the manager has in him as well. And I think that's quite important. I mean, I know, look, he's had his critics this season. I think some of that was preconceived criticism based on the fact that he was brought in through no fault of his own to take up that second centre-back berth through injuries and lack of availability. But I think over the piece, he's made that position very much his own, and I think certainly in the eyes of the manager. And this deal for me looks like it's part repayment of that faith, reinforcement of that faith that the manager has in him. But I think also from a business standpoint, if Scales can continue to improve, there's a chance that he will attract buyers, and therefore if you're on a longer term deal, the greater the return on investment you're likely to get through a transfer fee. So you can view it both ways. For me, as a Celtic fan, as a guy who's watched them all season, I think he's got improvements to make in his game, but at the moment, given what we've got in the squad, I would feel comfortable putting him on to a longer deal, and being able to call on him when we can.
The thing is, we spoke about it yesterday. It was raised, the fact that, his deal was running out. I remember last season, Chris, we learned of interest from Anderlecht. There was talk of a £4 million interest from Anderlecht. I don't know how much that was paper talk, but he has had what I think they call now in the game a redemption arc. That's what they're calling it. And he obviously has signed with no much fanfare from Shamrock Rovers 2021. One of the kind of under the radar signings that, you know, a lot of them don't work out. And I'm thinking of guys like Johnny Kenny. I'm thinking of, who was the fullback? Leo Connor. Remember Leo Connor? Yeah. Irish international came in at the same time. In fact, on the same day as Jeremy Frimpong, we signed a player from Man United and a player from Man City. And around about that time, I was talking to a Celtic scout and I said to him about the two new guys, didn't know much about them, a wee bit like everybody else. You find what you can online. I says, you know, do you fancy any other chances? And that scout said to me that day, he said, one of them is going to be put out on loan and one of them is going to be part of the first team squad, but nobody knows which is which. So they'd seen them in training, they'd seen them on a and they weren't sure. They couldn't differentiate, Chris, between Leo Connor and Jeremy Frimpong, right? That just shows you, you know, sliding doors moments with football. Jeremy Frimpong has become one of the most sought-after fullbacks in European football. It looks as though he's going to be moving for £34 million. The reason it's £34 million is because that's the cap. It would have probably been more than that.
I was going to say it would have been more.
Leo Connor is now playing his football for Tranmere Rovers in the third tier of English football. Just shows you how the careers can go two different ways. Liam Scales could have disappeared without a trace, a bit like O'Connor and Kenny, but he hasn't. And I think that, you know, we have spoken so much about it. I love to see the underdog coming through. I do. I think Celtic are an underdog, right? I remember always watching that centenary video, and I think it was Billy McNeil, the late, great Billy McNeil, spoke about Celtic. We're the underdog and that we're quite comfortable being the underdog, you know, punching above your weight and all that. So I think it's an underdog story, Chris, right? But not to be sentimental about it, the way I view it, absolutely right. If there's people interested in your investment and you're into the last year of your deal, get them signed up. But I think a lot of people see that and think, where's our ambition? You know, this is the centre half, this is the future. I think you can have it both ways. And I keep saying this. I think you can have Liam Scales at the club, but you can also go and buy a better centre half in the summer.
Absolutely. I think smart recruitment is all about augmenting the success you've got inside. It's about building on top of those foundations that you've set. Now, you've got to remember, Liam Scales, by the end of this season, once all the games have been played, could be a double winner and would be very much one of the top contributors to that success. Again, like we spoke about before the show, he's had his ups and downs. But over the course of this season, show me a player in that squad that has not had ups and downs. You know, I think one of the best players we've got in the team is Kyogo, as you can see from behind my shoulder there. Has Liam Scales had more off days than Kyogo? And I'm a huge fan of Kyogo, but I'm looking at it thinking, well, Scales has possibly played more consistently high-performing games than Kyogo this season. I know Kyogo's impact is obviously measured differently in terms of the goals and big games, etc., and the way he plays, and he's a favourite for a reason. But I think we've got to be realistic when we're judging a player like Scales. He will hopefully, touch wood, by the end of the season, he'll be a double winner along with the rest of that squad. And for me, there's not huge disparities between the performances of the other players on the pitch and Liam Scales. Okay, he's had his good games, and collectively the squad's had some great games this season, but collectively we've had some real stinkers. And, you know, he's been part of that as well. You know, he's had the odd mistake. I just think, you know, we should view him with a very realistic lens in terms of how this season's going end to end. What I would like to see from Scales, and I think, you know, this four-year deal has to be a bit of a challenge to Liam Scales to say, okay, you were brought in, you were asked to come in, do a job for us, you know, or maybe preferred centre-back in the Rock and the Vroshki's not had the level or injuries have played a part, whatever. But I think Liam Scales has got to take this as an opportunity to say, do you know what? I'm going to go and try and play even better next season. Club might go and recruit, you know, a top centre-back, and maybe that pushes me down the pecking order. But he's got to be thinking, you know, I've played 30-plus games this season. I've made that position my own. And I'd like to see him go and try and build on his performances, address some of those weaknesses in his game, which we've spoken about all season, and really find his place in the system. And look, you never know. I don't think any player should ever be ruled out. I would like to see him take the opportunity. Like if he you know, ends up dropping out of the squad next season and we bring in someone who does an amazing job, hey, look, I'm a Celtic fan. I'm happy. I'm delighted with that. But I'm not going to celebrate success for Celtic by condemning a player who's actually done a really good job for us this season. So, you know what? Fair play to him. 4-year deal. Well done, son. Go and prove you're worth it.
And he plays against Hearts at the weekend, doesn't he? I mean, we're going to run through the team. Scales, he'll be in there. We'll also be looking at what does it mean for the other centre-halves at the club. Now, Cameron Carter-Vickers, he's the rock, right? And it's Carter-Vickers plus A another, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
40 times Brendan has decided that A another is Liam Scales this season. He has been the first pick in that position alongside Carter-Vickers. I think that he's shown a bit of faith in Stephen Welsh, because you might have forgotten that Welsh was handed a 4-year deal earlier on in the season. And then he's more or less been presented with two signings. And I know that Brendan Rodgers spoke in the early days of his second time at the club about being the guy that signed off on all the signings and all the rest of it. And I'm not saying that he was telling untruths. I think what he was doing at that point is hedging his bets, Chris. I mean, you cannot at that point come into a football club and say Lagerbelt and Navroski were not my signings, because straight off the bat, you're going to lose the confidence of those two players. Yeah. And maybe other guys that have come in at around about the same time. So I think he's done the right thing, right? And he's probably toned the party line a wee bit at that stage. But as the season has progressed, and maybe his frustration has been matched by the fans with regards to the incomings and the lack of success with the recruitment, he's basically said, listen, some of these deals were too far down the line to back out of, but he trusted that due to the record of the recruitment team, that they would fit and they'd be a good fit for Celtic. Listen, this happens. They've not been a good fit for Celtic. What does it mean for those two guys? I think Lagerbielk's cards are marked. What about Navroski? That's a wee bit more of a difficult one, isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, you base your assessment on what we've seen throughout the course of the season in terms of who's played and who's happened and who hasn't. You base it on what we've seen in terms of movements within the recruitment team. Sorry, it's my dog trying to break down the door again.
What's it called?
Scalesy. Scalesy, yeah. 4-year deal. you know, we've seen guys like Mark Lowell and the other scout who I'll never remember this guy's name. I keep forgetting.
Joe Buchner. Joe Buchner.
That's the one. You know, so that for me kind of tells its own story. You know, that tells its own story that players were brought in by a recruitment team, haven't really met the manager's requirements. We don't obviously see what goes on in training every day, so we don't know how you know Brendan Rodgers and the coaching team are assessing who's going to be each week. In fact, it's absolutely sure. And they have Navrochki, who you expect to be brought in. He was the one that was signed for the money. You'd expect him to have came in and done the you know, taking on that second berth. Hasn't really happened initially through injury, and then, you know, doesn't seem to be able to get or hold together a consistent run, and maybe that's Brendan seeing him in training and just like, nope, you know, doing it. Lagerbielk, I mean, he came in and he had the odd impact, you know, European game in particular. But then, you know, as far as we knew, he was going to go in January, and, you know, the move didn't materialise, but he's not been anywhere near that first team since. So you'd say he's got to be gone. Welsh has been brought in and out a few times, I think, again, by necessity, generally to cover injuries. The mainstay has really been Liam Scales since he's came in. When he's been fit, he's played. I mean, he's pretty much, you know, played unless it's been disrupted by injury. So that tells me that Scales is definitely the favourite choice at the moment based on what we have. You maybe toss up, say, is it Welsh or Navrochki? Maybe takes that third spot in Lagerbielk. He seems to be bombed out. I don't know. Maybe just because I'm old, but there's a movie called Hot Fuzz, which you've probably seen, where the Simon Pegg police officer goes to the town and he, and they're trying to keep the preservation society, you know, trying to keep the town nice. So any undesirables are suddenly disappeared. And there's at one point he finds all the youth and the street performers and all that are dumped into a basement somewhere and killed off. I'm sure at some point somebody's going to go to Celtic Park and we're going to find James McCarthy, we're going to find we're going to find Lagerbielka, we're going to find Kobayashi. You know, they're all going to be in there. You know, and I think that's what's happened to these guys. Somebody's going to open a trap door and they're all going to be sitting there saying, "Let me out."
I think, right, that they're all around Tommy Gravison's basement playing Call of Duty when everybody else is up at Leinster. Right, the cat, what are they called? The Cashier Four. And they're going to be joined by a few others as well. By the way, loads of comments coming through. What do you think about the new deal that's just been announced for Liam Scales? There's quite a bit on the social media, people saying, listen, I've just received my email regarding the renewal of season tickets, and then you follow up with Liam Scales. Listen, as I said before, sign him up, right? I think he's a backup. I do. I just think this season has been a really difficult season, a really poor season in many ways, and there's been quite a few different reasons that have contributed to that. Liam Scales, for me, is in the same box as Tony Ralston. I said it yesterday, right? He's in the same box as Tony Ralston. He's in the same category as Stephen Welsh, and I would even say Greg Taylor. These are guys that, at the moment, I think they can do your job. If you want to progress as a football team, particularly on a European level, you've got to bring in a much higher quality of player. Have we done that with Josip Juranovic and Alistair Johnston? I would say we have. Have we done it in terms of the central defensive prowess of Carter Vickers? Yes, but let's get another guy of that stature and let's find a left back who can actually defend a cross ball, because, yeah, you know, in terms of Greg Taylor, I think that he has played almost above his level. He has definitely hit his peak, and there's less of a reliance for me on the inverted fullbacks, which seemed to be the position that he favoured. We'd done a lot less defending, it would seem, under Ange Postecoglou, I felt. But when he's been asked to defend...
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He's kind of been shown up, and Brendan Rodgers isn't going to completely change his game plan for one player. What he'll do is he'll find a left back that suits his game plan. But we're going to be running with Liam Scales till the end of the season. We're going to be running with Greg Taylor till the end of the season, because obviously Burnaby was shipped out. But Joe Hamilton came in after our chat yesterday to say Scales, our big Italian defender, stepped up when we needed him. And I don't know if you got a chance to watch yesterday's show, Chris. We were talking about perceptions, basically, right? So we went out there in the summer, and we knew that we had to replace... Well, actually, it was into the season. We knew that we had to replace Kyle Starfelt. Kyle Starfelt and Carter Vickers had created a brilliant partnership. The partnership was better than the sum of its parts, if you like, right? It was more important than each of the two players. They had a great understanding. And I think the stat domestically is if when they played together, we didn't lose a game. Brilliant together. Kyle Starfelt, much maligned during his time at Celtic, by the way. You tend to forget that. But we knew that it had to be replaced. And what we've done is we've gone out and we've spent 4.3 on Navroski. We've spent 3 million on Lagerbelk. And I think the figure that we punted out on Nat Phillips was £2 million. That was a loan fee plus, yep, plus wages on top. So we spent a lot of money to try and replace Starfelt. Liam Scales, had he been brought in? This was the question the other day. Big Lawrence, I think, was on the show. When Liam Scales came in, had he come from an Italian club, as Joe has suggested, right? And his name was Leo Scalacci. This is what we're calling him. And he was £4 million after 40 games. What would we be saying about him? Is a lot of this down to perception, Chris?
I think so. I think there was a lot of preconceived perceptions of Scales coming in. I think a lot of people expected him to be shipped out at the start of the season. Through no fault of his own or circumstances of his control, he's been brought in. And I think there's a degree of unfashionability, if that's a word. I'm not sure. I need to check with Jerry on that one. But
Like double denim. That's become unfashionable, right?
Never been unfashionable.
just keep wearing it until it comes back.
That's what I'm trying to do. My biggest advocate was Jota, and he's away, so I'm really annoyed. You know, he was figured if he was there, I could get away with it. But there is. I mean, he's not what you'd consider a fashionable signing. He's not Paulo Di Canio with the slick back hair and the charisma and the attitude. You know, he's not got the, as we were talking earlier in the week about the 90s hairstyles. You know, he's not. He's just a big ginger guy from Ireland's in there. He's a big kind of, you know, sort of honest type player. You know, there's no bells and whistles about him, but he comes in there and he does his job. And I think you're right. Had we signed someone from the continent who'd come in, and probably from a stats perspective, I don't know what the stats are, I'd be interested to see them, but from a stats perspective, I reckon if you were to apply those to a brand new, nice, shiny signing, then I don't think people would be applying the same level of criticism that they do to Liam Scales. It's just the fact that Liam Scales was already seen as a weaker asset than who we let go in terms of Starfelt and who we brought in terms of Navrocki. Navrocki seemed to be the profile signing. Look, it hasn't happened for him. You know, it hasn't happened for him for various reasons. So for me, Scales deserves the credit for coming in and actually being part of a very disrupted back line throughout this season. And he's had to play with multiple different partners against multiple different teams. And you got to remember, it's his first season as a first-team player at Celtic. I know he played a season at Aberdeen last year. That's his first time playing under this manager with these players. You know, he's done absolutely, for me, everything that would be expected of him. I would never say he's on the level of Carter Vickers, absolutely not. Carter Vickers has proven over two or three seasons now that he's been, you know, an amazing investment, a great player, proper leader, potential future captain, great, great player. And I think everybody who plays alongside him has the benefit of his overall play. But look, even he's had a few bad games this season. You know, it's no player is completely infallible. No player is a 10 out of 10 every single match, except maybe Henrik Larsson. But or not according to Martin Neal anyway.
His debut was a bit shady.
Yeah, so I remember that, yeah. Just tear my shirt up when that happened. But I think, look, let's give Scales a break. We'll see what happens in terms of recruitment in the summer. But for me, I would rather have Scales as that backup, as you say, as that Tony Ralston. That if I'm looking at the bench and I'm looking to shore it up and Scales is sitting there, I'm going to think, yeah, you know what? It's pretty good in the air. Knows the club, knows the team, played a good season, I'd bring him in. So,
I just shows you. I mean, he's already seen off Nat Phillips. It looks as though this summer he will see off Kobayashi, he will see off Lagerbjelk. Navrocki, I've still got a question mark over Navrocki. I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with him. Nothing would surprise me with Navrocki, I've got to say. If we were to sell him or loan him out, would not be surprised. Anyone who's been tuning into Celtic State of Mind over the last couple of weeks will realise that I've got a new toy. The new toy is artificial intelligence, and it's a graphic generator, and I asked it to produce for me an image of Leo Scalacci. Had we signed him from Italy, but I wanted them to retain the ginger hair, and there he is. What a stud. There he is. If we had signed him for £4.5 million, I think we'd be pretty chuffed with it. AI is brilliant. It's absolutely superb. I'm spending far too much time on it. Here we go. Pete McGee. No way I'm writing Palma off. That's the other part of the tagline is around Louis Palma. But what I'm going to do before we discuss that is I'm going to bring Stephen Ray into the discussion, because it was Stephen who raised this actually yesterday via email. Pete McGee says, I think the boy is excellent and can only improve under Brendan Rodgers. As for Scales, not a big fan, but an okay squad backup in future. I think that's what, you know, that's what we've came to. That's the conclusion, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
Scalesy, reliable, low maintenance, and I think on a par with the type of player we've mentioned before, who I think, you know, in terms of a squad player who's maybe going to play 20 or 30 games a season, but he's definitely a backup. I'm happy with that. And these guys are hard to find. These guys are very, very hard to find. How do you manage them? I think they're very hard to manage because they're not guaranteed. Nobody should be guaranteed game time as such, but you do have a core player group who always play. And at the moment, it's Joe Hart, it's Carter Vickers, Callum McGregor, Cool goal, although he was dropped earlier this season. So Stephen came in with the point. Palmer has 24 goal contributions, right? Two less than Jota during last season and one more than Abada last season, right? And the point that was made yesterday, and we discussed it at length, was the fact that when we're talking about the wingers, and right now it's a great discussion point, who is going to start on the wings? We've already got Liam Scales playing left centre-back. We tend to lump Palmer in the same category as Jan. We tend to do that, and I've noticed it during the discussions, and I've probably been guilty of it as well. Are we too harsh on Palmer? That's a big question. Chris, what's your view on that?
Well, I think I said earlier in the, you know, in the last couple of weeks that I felt as though Yang had the most to prove out of all the wingers. He, for me, was still the one with the biggest question mark over him. Whereas we have seen what Palmer has done, particularly towards the early part of the season when he came in. I mean, he had the ground running, he was on fire, you know, a couple of absolutely worldly goals, looked like the great, you know, pass on him, you know, and he was involved in so many of the goals that we scored. You know, he seemed to be, I think, averaging about at least an assist a game, which is not a stat to be sniffed at all. That's pretty impressive. Again, I think perception plays a part. I think it's the eye test, as we've said before, you know, this kind of optic view of Palmer. You know, we see certain behaviours on the park that don't really resonate with the support very well, or certainly not positively. And I think that's maybe something that Palmer's got to recognise in his game. I don't think he should necessarily have been beaten over the head because of it, but I think when you miss a penalty and you walk away smiling, when you don't track back and support your left back and Greg Taylor, who, let's face it, does need the support of his winger. The fans will notice things like that in the same vein that they'll notice the positive contributions like the goals and the assists. So it's just part of what it means to be at Celtic. We want to see the work ethic. We want to see the guys playing for each other and really busting a gut, because that's what it means to the fans, right? The fans would happily go into that park and run about for 90 minutes. They'd find the energy and they'd find the way to do it. So they're expecting at least that standard from the players on the pitch. And so for me, Palmer, he's got that swagger, he's got that, he's certainly got ability. And yeah, I mean, I think the comment is right. There is if anybody can develop a player like that, it's Brendan Rodgers. So you're hoping actually that he'll start to develop those areas in the game. So I think Palmer has made a meaningful contribution this season. I think, like quite a few players, he's dropped off towards the latter part of the season, and you know, he's not getting that consistent run, so maybe sharpness is not quite there. Again, I just think that the problem he's got is we've got a guy in Maeda who embodies all of those traits we've just spoken about with Celtic fans. You know, the running for, you know, excuse me, 90 minutes a guy, running for about 3 days, I think, if you ask them. You've got the fact he tracks back, he does his defensive work, you know, he chips in with goals and all the positive contributions as well. And he's that definition at the moment of a cult icon, you know, which is something we love. We've got a guy like James Forrest who is tried and tested, has been subject to his own criticism for, you know, years, if not decades, from the elements of the Celtic support. But he's coming in now and making a huge impact at absolutely the right time of the season. So Palmer still has, for me, the opportunity to come in and make an impact between now and the end of the season. I just think he's got to do a little bit to regain the faith of the Celtic fans a little bit. And I think the best way you can do that is not necessarily by scoring 30-yard goals, although it'll certainly help, but by showing that he's willing to go in there and put his heart on his sleeve and die on the battlefield, really, to get us over the line. I think that's what we want from our players at the moment. And I think that's an area that Palmer hasn't really demonstrated up to now.
I just showed you, and I think in any era of football, this has been the same. As much as things change, this has been a constant. There is no doubt in my mind, Palmer is a better technical player than Maeda. He's more technically gifted than Maeda, right? But Maeda has all those other things, right? All those other aspects to his game that mean that week on week you would play Maeda, right? Yeah. He doesn't have the skills. He doesn't have the dribbling ability. He doesn't have the shooting ability, the crossing ability. When you look at the assists that Palmer's got under his belt, Maeda doesn't have that yet. If we were to run a poll right now, who starts if fit, of course. Who starts at the weekend? I'm pretty sure the majority of people would say Maeda. Yeah. And that shows just how much, particularly not just the fans, but the backroom team and Brendan Rodgers, how much that drive, that determination, and also sticking to a game plan, doing your defensive duties, all these things, right, are pivotal, particularly now where the margins are so fine. There's 3 points in this. There can be no slip-ups. We can have no passengers. You know, there's one thing about Maeda, technically not the best player in the world, but he's never a passenger, Chris. He never is a passenger. He will always work his socks off. Let us know what you think. Who is going to start on the wings? What's your thoughts on Liam Scales? Let us know in the comments section. We are on for another 32 minutes. Give us a thumbs up on the old YouTube. And if you're watching on our newest platform, Instagram, welcome to what we call Axom. This is Axom, and we've got Justine McGinn, we've got Melanie Brady, we've got Brian B. Islands, the Celtic Supporters Podcast, who I think stream on a Friday night. Check them out. Gio Kelly 72, Greg Hay, and Oco SK, who says, whatever about Scales' rough edges, he has a ferociously strong mentality. Absolutely. And he looks fine as Leo Scalacci. I'm sure you will agree. All this work was my own by typing in a few references. Look at that. You'd stick that on the side of your mug, that. Leo Scalacci, there we go. Right.
I'm not going to let my missus see that, I tell you.
I'm going to have to do a few double denim efforts and share them with you next week. Oh. Thanks, everybody, for your comments. Donny Tiny Hands, Maeda back in training. I wonder if his name is Donny. Maeda back in training. Seen the pictures today. He is the cult icon, and I'd throw him right in. Chris, I'm not. I mean, see, right now, I'm going to put it out there on the line. My wingers are James Forrest on the right, Maeda on the left. I'm going to start with Maeda on the left, Jamesy on the right. What's your thoughts?
Controversial. If he was fit and absolutely ironclad not to get injured, I would start with Maeda because all the attributes we've just spoken about. I think he, you know, we need that between now and the season and pretty much every game now and the end of the season. So I would probably agree with Maeda on the left, but the Forest one on the right, I've still got a soft spot for Kuhn. I don't know where it is. I know he's up and down. I know he's had some real bad games, but I just think there's a top performance in that player waiting to burst out. I really do, and I would like to see it. And the one reason why I'd probably not start Forrest, unless Maeda's really not fit, in which case I'd maybe start Forrest and bring Maeda on later if we need him.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18+. But I think Forrest is such a good asset to have on the bench. The impact he's made coming off the bench as well as starting this season has been, towards the latter half of the season, has been excellent. And I just think that's a great weapon to have in your arsenal. I would love to see James Forrest just play his part between now and the end of the season to get his double. So Maeda for me starts on the left. I would stick with Kuhn on the right, and I just think the luxury of being able to bring on Forrest, and indeed, as we've just spoken about, maybe even an opportunity for Palmer to come in and be a hero. You know, there's the opportunities are there. But my fear is, because we've got the Rangers game coming up, I really don't want to see Dyson get injured. So if we were to swap Dyson out, I'd be happy. Because I just think Dyson will give Captain Fantastic over there, will give him absolute nightmares the night before if he thinks Maeda's playing. So I mean, he'll be on the phone to his, you know, his Tynecastle mates saying, please injure him, you know, so I don't have to face him again. I want my era for the Rangers game. If he only plays one more game this season, I would love it to be the Rangers game.
Two. We'll keep him for the final as well.
Well,
of course. It's interesting, Chris, isn't it, that we're talking about four wingers. We're not even talking about Palmer. He never entered that discussion when you were going through the options there on the wing.
Palmer, that's Yang.
Yang.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's me putting him in the same bracket again. Yang. I said Jim Palmer. What does that mean for Yang? I mean, going into the preseason, I think he's had a tough debut season for Celtic. I mean, anything can happen between now and the end of the season. If you want to make yourself a hero, now's the time to do it.
Yes.
Does he have it? Do you think he's got it? Does he have the fibre?
He's had
the minerals.
He's had opportunities, and at one point it looked as though he was getting to have a little bit of a purple patch. I think sending off massively derailed him. Look, the boy's got, I think, a decent attitude. He's got a good work ethic. He does run, but I just the focus and the concentration doesn't seem to be there, and he's not making enough meaningful contributions for me. And I think that's where the big difference between him and Palmer has been. We know Palmer can make a big contribution, even if it comes out of nothing, you know, just cut inside and launch one at the net from outside the box, and chances are it's, you know, it's got an above average chance of going in. Yang, for me, just has so much to prove. I think he's the kind of player that would actually benefit from doing a scales or doing a quad and actually going into an SPL team on loan, even for, you know, half a season or a season. I just think he needs to find his footing in our league and adapt to our game. Whereas I think the other four players that we've mentioned have done that already and to a greater degree than he has in the time he's given. So it's no, there's nothing, you know, personal against Yang. I would love to see every player that signs for Celtic go on and be a success. I just think at the moment, maybe it's the best thing for the player to take him out of the firing line a little bit, let him adjust and acclimatise a little bit more, maybe get him out on a loan to give him that first team exposure, and hopefully then we come back and we've either got a player who can either make a difference to the first team, or we've got a saleable asset.
This is again, you've got to consider the outlay of transfer fees in the summer, and it's not just about writing it all off, and you've got to manage that as well. It's interesting, back in the day, a player who used to use his backside quite a lot throughout his career as a weapon was Kenny Dalglish. And I think in the modern day, John McGinn does it, doesn't he, for Scotland and Aston Villa. And if there's a player in the Celtic team who does it, it's Jamesy Forrest. And every time you're talking about James Forrest, Chris, and I don't know if you're doing this subconsciously, you talk about his assets and you talk about the weapons he has in his arsenal. Every time you're talking about James Forrest.
I'm all about that. I'm all about that. Yeah, I haven't noticed that now. I'm going to be really paranoid about that going forward. Thanks for
keep saying it. It's fine. Stephen Donnelly, welcome to the show. I know. Jury still out on Palmer for me. Too easily shrugged off the ball. I would give him until January next season. But it's always good to get an opposing view. And Daniel F. comes in to say, Palmer is technically excellent. With a pre-season, he will excel next season. Even though injuries and poor patches, he's about 19 goal contributions. Yeah, and, you know, as I said before, you know, a few weeks back, it was JP Mason had said that Jamesy Forrest would do something to contribute to the outcome of this season, something positive, and he's done it. You're looking at guys like Yang and Palmer. Sometimes it can just be that moment in a game, a big game where it's tense. It could obviously be the obvious ones with regards to Rangers and the two derbies that are coming up, but it could be this weekend. You know, if things are tight and tense going into the last 5 minutes, you've got to step up and be that hero. Today is, of course, the 3rd of May. 2024. It's an anniversary of a very famous game. And during that game, Celtic wore what became an iconic away strip. It was the Lime Green away kit. 1986, we played in a stadium that's no longer there called Love Street. And Celtic had to win by three clear goals in hope that Dundee beat Hearts. And it all became part of a fairy tale, as Billy McNeil used to call it. Celtic, there's a fairy tale about this club, and on that day at Love Street, which is simply called Love Street 86, Celtic beat St Mirren 5-0. wee bit before your time, or can you remember it vaguely, Chris?
I know of it. I don't remember it at the time. If it was 86, I would have been 5 years old, probably, when it was happening. So yeah, I would have been five at that point. So probably not a clear memory. I'd have been probably jumping about the room like a lunatic, because that's probably what my dad was doing. But yeah, I think just a little before my time, I remember it vividly. However, I do remember the strip, because you've got it in your book back there. So.
Got it. Nice pitch. Well done. Nice plug for the book. Next to that book there, I see Mr. Hartson, and I'm going to be with John Hartson on Sunday up in Dundee. Anybody that's going to that lunch event, then I'm looking forward to seeing you there, and I'll be speaking to the big fella. But we bring up what is called Love Street 86. It's also called Albert Kidd Day. Albert Kidd Day, a guy who never played for Celtic officially, will be remembered forevermore, because he was the man who came on against Hearts and scored a brace, scored a double. Phenomenal perm and moustache combo. I had an absolute pleasure last year in meeting Albert Kidd up in Dundee, aforementioned. And I've got to ask you the question, do you know who he came on for Dundee? Because he was a sub that day. He came on and scored two goals. Who did he replace?
He's actually trending all over the socials today, so you'd think I probably would know that. I don't know who he came on to replace. Who was it?
Right, come on, tell us in the comment section.
We'll have it in the comments.
We'll give a prize out. What will we do? We'll give a prize out, right, for somebody in the comment section. Let us know. Love Street has become synonymous with the lime green jersey. I'll give away a copy of that Celtic jersey book. I've got a few copies kicking about. I'll give away a copy to the first person who tells me, without checking the Celtic wiki, who was it? It wasn't Willie Faulkner. He never played for Dundee. You're at it, AGSC Tech. John Paul II was 20 at the time. Can you remember? Who did Albert Kidd come on for? It wasn't John Colquhoun, because he was playing for Hearts, Brendan. It was, though, I will say, it was an ex-Celtic player. No, it was a future Celtic player. Someone who signed, there you go, Kevin Smith's got it.
Tosh McKinley.
Kevin, get in touch on the DMs on social media or email me at pauljohn@gmail.com. You will get a signed book. There you go, Tosh McKinley. It's all coming in now. Look at that.
Do you think Albert Kidd can believe in 2024 that he's trending all over, you know, the social media platforms? Would he ever have known or could ever have predicted that by doing that he'd have a day named after him?
Is there anybody else, really, who never played for Celtic, who is so fondly remembered for helping us out? And I think that the interesting thing was, for me, that you're learning all the time, right? So I was up at this, it was the Dundee Travel Club 75th anniversary last year, and I was up there hosting an event for their anniversary. It was an absolute privilege to be asked to do it. Tosh McKinley was one of the speakers, as was Frank McAvenny, Peter Grant. And in the audience, in the crowd, was the man. The main man, Albert Kidd, he was there, right? And he looked sensational. He looked as though he was auditioning for Miami Vice. He had this jacket. Oh, you'd have loved it, by the way, Chris. Sleeves rolled up and all that. Brilliant.
Super.
And he was warmly received, let's just say. But interestingly enough, I say he never played for Celtic. He did once don the hoops in a game, and it was in Australia, right? So it was one of these bounce games over in Australia. And in the Celtic side were Albert Kidd, Willie Wallace, obviously, who lived over there, still does. He turned out for the Celtic team. They were wearing the centenary hoops, right? Wee Joe Miller's dad played that day. And Ben Doak's granddad played in that match, but he played for the opposition, I believe. But the star attraction was none other than George Best. George Best played for Celtic that day, and the video is now on YouTube. Go and check it out. Stuff. Aye, the flowing locks, the black beard, the centenary top. Absolutely sensational. Thanks, everybody, for your views on that. That was Love Street. Let's celebrate it. And the scene of one of the most fantastic goals Celtic have ever scored. And it was Danny McGrain to Paul McStay to Brian McClair. McClair goes on the run, he crosses it in, can't remember who scored at the back post, but it was a great goal. 5-0 Celtic won that game. What do you think is going to happen this weekend? Will we score 5? Have we got that in us? Let us know in the comment section. The season ticket renewal forms have just dropped into the inbox. I'm not sure what the waiting list is now. Is it time, though, Chris, that we extended the capacity of Celtic Park. It's been something we've spoken about a lot. Is it something we can do? It'd be pretty difficult, wouldn't it, to rebuild that main stand because we'd need to shift fans out. People wouldn't be able to go to the games for a spell.
Yeah, well, I remember my very first match as a supporter, as a young lad, was actually going and sitting in the temporary stand when they were building, you know, what's now the current main stand. And it was the I think it was a game against, I want to say Dundee United, and it was the last minute Pierre goal, which I never forget my dad, because he was trying to get out to the car and said, right, we'll start walking down, and then Pierre scored. I was like, I ran back up, you know, trying to see what was going on. I would like to see, I think the stadium, you know, it's magnificent. I mean, it's very, very close to where I live. I drive past it frequently. I actually drove past it, heading towards the Kilt Walk at the weekend there as well. And, you know, the stadium's just got an aura around it. It's fabulous. It looks better than it's ever looked, in my opinion, with all the development that's been taking place. But I think the one thing we want to see now is we want to see not just progression on the park, but we want to see actually, you know, our infrastructure start to improve and really, you know, move with the times in terms of being a real football institution. And I think, you know, expanding the stadium might be one of the next big milestones that we need to hit. I mean, I did the tour for my birthday last year. First time I've done the tour as an adult. And, you know, you go into the stadium, it's steeped in history and it's wonderful. And the tour guide was excellent. And I think he spoke about, he was asked the question about, you know, what would it take to extend, you know, the main stand up and get another, I think he said about another 10,000 onto the capacity. And I want to say, I think he said it would cost about 100 million. I think that was just his rough estimate. I have no idea what that was based upon. So whether that's an outlay that the club would want to make, they would have to think long term about, you know, well, short term we have to maybe move supporters out. What's that going to mean for support? What's it going to mean for revenue? And then, you know, obviously, are you going to get a return on investment by doing that? So, but I think we need to start seeing improvements like that. You know, you see what's happening in Man United just now. You know, Old Trafford's always been a magnificent arena. Now it's leaking. People are complaining about the fact that it's falling to bits. You know, with players like Ronaldo going in there and complaining about the facilities. And you think, you know, Man United's a huge football institution. And I would hate to see Celtic rest on our laurels a little bit and just assume that, you know, we don't need to go and make these investments when I think we do. And look, what's the point in having all this revenue that we've supposedly got if we're not going to improve the club, you know, and then the club infrastructure?
Yep, it's obviously good to be stable financially, but there's no point in keeping 72 or whatever money we've got in these days. It's probably going up and up and up in the bank, 72, 70 million, 68 million, whatever the fee is now, because I know that obviously it takes a lot of money to run the football club. But on top of that, we've also received a cash injection from the Abada deal. We're about to get even more money from the Jeremy Frimpong sale on.
Yeah, Frimpong one as well.
6.8 million. Yeah.
And as much as we might hear and hope to see it, you know, Matt O'Reilly could be generating huge money in the summer unless we manage to keep him. So, and I know not all of that will go on the on-field improvements. So let's put it somewhere where we can see it making a real difference to the long-term stability and prosperity of the club. So I think, you know, seeing it put into the stadium, put it into the facilities, you know, European nights, most players talk about European nights at Celtic Park as being the best they've ever played at. I think I watched a video yesterday on YouTube, and it was Fraser Forster talking about, you know, the games against Rangers, but also the European nights at Celtic are the best he's ever seen in his career, with Messi, you know, wax lyrical about it. And I think, you know, let's capitalise on that atmosphere. Let's just continue to improve it. Look at the light shows. Look at all the stuff we do. It's a fabulous arena. And you know, we should be thinking long term. How can we as a club take ourselves to the next level?
I think if we go back a wee bit, and obviously Jim Orr was in, you know, Brian Dempsey's office when Brian Dempsey had a model not of the current Celtic Park, but a Celtic Park elsewhere, and all the talk around the new stadium, we had to do something at that point. We were forced into it. The old board had dragged their heels for years, and they didn't have the business acumen to bring the money in to have an all-seater stadium that would meet the criteria set by the Taylor Report. And, you know, we were going to miss the deadline to such a degree that we basically had to move out of Celtic Park into Hampden and kind of rebuild the stadium. And at that point, Fergus McCann was a visionary, and he created a stadium that had a capacity of 10,000 more than the nearest rivals, Rangers. And every single season, we can sell 10,000 more seats to season ticket holders. And it gives you a financial advantage that Rangers will never, ever, at that point, you think to yourself, they'll never, ever be able to fill that gap. You're always going to have 10 million quid revenue more than your rival. Not just the season ticket, but what they call average revenue per fan. They probably don't use the word fan. They probably use the word customer when you're in the actual stadium. So you're making this, you're generating this extra cash over your top rival at every opportunity, at every home game. And I'm of the view, just looking at the way that the board work now, Chris, that the only time Celtic would actually, and it would be the main stand, bringing it up to the same level as the other three stands, to increase the capacity, maybe up to something nearing 70,000 at Celtic Park. I think the only time they would do it is, I think there's two reasons they would do it. The first one would be if Rangers increase the capacity of Ibrox to 60,000 and it becomes a level playing field in terms of the revenue at the stadium, or if we left Scottish football. And if we left Scottish football, these big nights you're talking about, the Champions League nights, the games against Rangers, if you were to go into a more competitive arena with bigger, richer clubs, you were going to have far more games like the ones you mentioned, and it would be beneficial on a financial level to then increase the capacity. I think that's the only two reasons that they would do it. Will that happen in my lifetime? I hope so. I hope it does. Albert Kidd says, Stephen Cruikshanks, here's an interesting one. Albert Kidd is loved by all Celts and high Bs or Hibbies. And the thing with that is, so he's loved by Dundee, Celtic and Hibs, and two of their clubs he never even played for. So, Albert Kidd, every Celtic fan forevermore will buy you a drink, no matter where you are in the world. That is for sure. And Scobie Boy says, happy Albert Kidd Day, troops, as well. James Devine, welcome to the show. Good afternoon. And Scales deserves this new deal. Have a think for 1 minute. When would we have been without him? I mean, yeah, where would we have been without him? I mean, you take him out of that team, and I think that the other four centre-halves that we've currently got at the club, Kobayashi, you don't play him. Unless you have nobody else, you do not play him. Lagerbielt, not sure what's happened between him and Rodgers, but I don't think he's been that bad, I've got to be honest. Navroski, is he ever fit enough to play a couple of games a week in the first half of the season? Doesn't look likely. So we probably would have been playing Stephen Welsh alongside Carter Vickers. So yeah. James makes a good point there. Where would we be without him? James Kerwin comes in on the YouTube. As far as a new contract for Scales goes, yes, I would keep him. He's young and can improve. He will come good once again. Just iron out the wrinkles in his game. Too many mistakes. And this is the thing as well that we've spoken about, Chris. Just because of your age, you could be in your mid-20s, as Scales he is, but you can still improve. And Brendan Rodgers has shown that he can improve players at that age.
I think when it comes to defenders in particular, because a lot of what they rely on is their positional sense, it's their intelligence, their ability to read the game. I remember, I'll give him his daily shout, my dad always used to make a good point. He said, when he talks about a captain on the park, he always wanted the captain to be at the back, you know, be someone at the in defence, because they're seeing the game play out in front of them, you know, and they're having to read the game, and they should have that positional and tactical knowledge about, you know, how do I position myself, where do I position my defensive partner, you know, how do I, you know, protect the goalkeeper in the area around the box, that kind of thing. So he was always a big advocate of, you know, having your captain or having your leaders at the back. And I think, you know, when you come to the physical element of the game, I think defenders tend to have more longevity. You know, they can play right into the 30s and early to mid-30s at the top level, if they're good enough, right? So, yeah, there's definitely potential for someone like Scales to iron out some of the mistakes that we're seeing in these games, some of the positional sense, maybe quicken his distribution of the ball a little bit, or just, you know, just release the ball quickly to someone who can actually then go and play the quick, the fast-paced and progressive forward-thinking football. I think we need to support guys like Scales by giving them, you know, a bit of support at areas like left-back. You know, he's a left-sided central defender, which means that he's having to cover for the lack of height in someone like Greg Taylor. Now, Greg Taylor does a great job going forward. He's been, a player who has played his part in a lot of success at Celtic, but he's vulnerable because of his height, and teams are recognising that, most obviously and recently at Aberdeen. So you know, is there an opportunity there for us to bring in a player who actually mitigates some of the vulnerabilities that Scales has shown, you know, by having a strong left back in there? So I don't know. I just think the guy has done enough to warrant recognition this season, certainly merits his deal, and for me, could certainly play a part in a future successful Celtic side. Excuse me one second to let this mutton, because he's driving me
crazy. The dog agrees.
He really doesn't agree, maybe. I'm not sure.
Possibly. Buzz Top doesn't agree. Don't lie to yourselves. That's our starting centre-back for 4 years. With the speed at which he plays the ball, it is going to feel like eight. Now, Scales does divide opinion. He's one of these guys that divides opinion. We've seen it in the comments section. Buzz Lop says that he doesn't play the ball fast enough, and you've just said that, and I agree with the pair of you. I don't think he does. There was a former Celtic centre-half yesterday being interviewed by a Scottish media platform, Maurice Jentz, and I thought he was excellent at releasing the ball, particularly to the wings. He was brilliant at it.
I was very surprised when he was let go, because for me, there was a lot we still had to see from Jentz. Scorer of some fantastic goals as well, by the way.
Overhead bicycle kick.
Just ridiculous. But for me, he never done anything fundamentally wrong when he was there. I thought, you know, again, a player, European experience, young, good kind of physical attributes, you know, big, tall. And I thought, for me, his career was only going to go one trajectory, which was up. He was only going to get better. So I was really surprised when we let him go. I'd quite happily take him back.
See, the thing with that, right, with Jentz, is you'll remember in Angie's first season, Carter Vickers missed quite a few of the Champions League games, and Jentz came in. I think he played six games in Europe. I need to double-check that just off the top of my head. And when Jentz, or was it second season? Was it last season? Seems like two seasons ago. It was last season. Yeah, it was the Real Madrid season, right?
So does seem way back.
It does, yeah. That goes back to Buzz Lop. It's because Scales is taking so long to release the ball. I think he played six games in the Champions League. And like you say, he's building up that experience, right? You're testing him at the top kind of level that Celtic can play at. And he's coming through and he's playing well. And you think to yourself, the transfer fee they were asking for was too much. What have we done since then? I'm going to ask the question. What have we done? We've spent £3 million on Lagerbjelk. Right,
yep.
We've spent £4.3 million on Navroski, and we've spent £2 million on a loan deal for Nat Phillips. We spent that £8 million elsewhere on guys that haven't played. You know, sometimes you look at it, like you say, I'm not going to say he was the messiah. I mean, Maurice Jentz wasn't the perfect specimen, but I'll tell you something, he had shown us that he could play at that level. And I think, reading between the lines, his club were pushing for him to play more games. And Ange and Celtic were saying, listen, he's no guaranteed a game. And then there was an opportunity for him to go elsewhere, and he went, didn't he? So that was an interesting one. But, I think with hindsight, sometimes people think you weren't saying that at the time. I did rate Jentz. I thought he found Jota so quickly at times that, you know, we transitioned defence to attack really quickly. And I think Carter Vickers can do it. I'm not sure Scales is there yet. Can he add it to his game? We will wait and see. With interest. Now, Brandon Warren, welcome to the show. You're watching on YouTube. Palma is done. We should write him off. He's not really a team player, which is why he holds the ball too long and always loses it. He wants that perfect goal for his highlight reel. These are all the things, by the way, that I think people become frustrated with Palma, because it does come across like that. I mean, if I had a set of teeth like him, I'd be smiling all the time as well. But see, if you miss a penalty, maybe not the best thing to do it. I remember Albion Ayeti missed a sitter against Ross County in the 2-0 game, you know, where the Harris fencing started being thrown about outside during the lockdown. I think that was the end for me when I seen Ayeti turn around with that big grin on his face.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, mate, we're paying for 18th and we can't even get into the stadium to watch your team, and you're laughing because you've missed a sitter. I get all that. I do get it. But I do think there's something there to work with, Chris. I'm no willing to write him off yet.
Yeah, I think so. I think players generally deserve at least a season. I think they, you know, particularly when they're coming in from abroad, I think you need to give them at least a season to see how they bed in. I mean, there's a lot of adapting that players have to do. And you've got to remember, you know, we're you know, of a certain age, and a lot of these guys, they're, you know, very early 20s. They're not, you know, seasoned or tenured, you know, life experience kind of guys, you know. So coming in to a new club, new country, Scotland of all places, you know, and having to get a degree of comfort where you can not only, you know, get comfortable in your surroundings, but you then have to go and play at a really high level of football. It's not easy, and I don't think we should ever downplay the difficulty in that. And that's why I've got a bit of sympathy with some of the South Korean boys as well, and certainly some of the guys who've come over from Japan, because that's a huge displacement to what they've been used to previously, and that must take a hell of a lot of mental strength and resilience and as we said, adaptability. So for me, yeah, Palma could come good in this team, and I think he deserves the opportunity. I do think he has to be more aware of the circumstances he's playing in, the club he's playing at. The expectations at Celtic are so high. You know, I know we play in a relatively small country, but we're a huge club, and the expectations of the fans are so high. And I think, you know, you have to show a certain level of character to get the fans behind you at this club, and rightly so, because the fans, you know, will make huge sacrifices to go and watch the team. There are folks who travel over from Ireland every single week to come and watch the team. There, you know, people, you know, becomes part of their whole life, and you know, it's been a huge part of my life, and you know, I would expect, you know, the majority of the supporters to say the same. So players have to acknowledge that, and I think they have to be able to kind of show that on the park. You know, Palma doesn't have to do everything perfectly. Nobody's expecting that. But what they want to see is a bit of graft, a bit of heart, you know, and playing for all those expecting fans in that stadium and showing, you know what, I get it, you're right, I messed that one up, but I'm going to go and bust the gut and try and get that ball back and then really show what I can do. And honestly, genuinely hope that not only Palma, but players like Yang and, you know, the other players coming through, I hope they all get the opportunity to show what they can do at Celtic. And if not everybody will make it, right? We'll be realistic about that. And, you know, that's why you go through recruitment cycles, etc. But, yeah, for me, still, he's got the opportunity still in his own hands to go and show the gaffer what he can do. Help us get us over the line in this season. You know, hopefully we're a double, and then on to next season, maybe he can play a real substantial part in any future success.
Yep. I mean, you look at the lineup, right? Because the game in February where Hearts were aided and abetted by the appalling use of VAR, you go back to December where we were really, really rotten. And I think most Celtic fans would agree, probably the worst performance of the season, arguably. The start 11, and this was JP Mason that brought this up yesterday, and it was a very good point, right? So the start 11 in that game was Joe Hart, Alistair Johnston, Greg Taylor, Carter Vickers and Scales. Now, that's the back five we're going to be playing this weekend. The midfield was O'Reilly, McGregor and Turnbull. Now, Turnbull's no longer at the club. Hatate's back fit. So I think that Hatate for Turnbull improves the midfield, Chris.
Yes.
And then up top, it was Mikey Johnston, Kyogo and Palmer. And I think up top, we're going to see a few changes because, as I say, I would play Maeda and I would play James DeForest, but it's up for debate. But see that team that's out there, other than Turnbull and Johnston, that is the makings of a team that, like, potentially could be played this weekend. And it's in games like that that if a player like Palmer was to have shown up and was to have said, right, we're having a bad day, but I'm going to be the guy that actually, you know, pulls us back in a game, grabs the game by the scruff of the neck, shows a bit of character, a bit of grit, a bit of mentality, all these things that, you know, don't really show up on the old stats board, on the data side of things. That's the game where you can win the adulation of the fans. The fans will get behind you if you show a wee bit of grit and determination. It's quite scary when you look at that side, though, because I think that's quite a strong side. And, of course, we were absolutely well beaten, I think, 2-0 on that particular day. How do you see it going this weekend, Chris?
I heard your prediction yesterday, and that's the kind of thing I would normally say, but I'm going to be a bit more conservative on this one. I would take 1-0 victories between now and the end of the season. I really would. It's such a big season in terms of getting the title, and, you know, I'd love to get the cup as well. But I think we're due a performance against this mob, and I'm a little bit like GP. The Hearts are a team that I'd love to see us beat. I always enjoy seeing us beating them. And it's always good to see Ewan Cameron doing his angry dance as well when it happens. But yeah, I will go for... I'll go Bickens, I'll go 3-1 Celtic. 3-1 okay. Celtic.
I would take that. I would take 1-0. But I'm predicting 4-0. I just think the positive energy... Yeah, we need that. And I think that getting a result, a result where we get a fairly, you know, convincing scoreline and a really good, strong performance. This is the thing, the performance. And I know Brendan Rodgers is saying, listen, the performance doesn't matter at the moment. We need to get a win. I just think with a performance, you get the momentum going into the Rangers game, Chris. I'd love to see us with a wee bit more of a free-flowing kind of attitude about us, you know. And yeah, if we get that against Hearts, it kind of carries us into the Rangers game, doesn't it?
It's just a belief. It's a belief as well. You know, the belief that we can go out and beat. I think, I'm hoping that the Dundee game was the ugly win that we had to have. I think we had to have an ugly win in the run-in, and it was the very definition of an ugly win. So I'm hoping against Hearts, this is where we actually, you know, we're at home, we start to really show a little bit of flair, a little bit of panache, and we actually, you're banging a few goals and go into the Rangers game thinking, do you know what? What a day to win. What a day to win that would be. And it just, you know, and I want to go into the game thinking, like the way I used to think under Martin O'Neill, was like, we're going to win this, no problem. You know, that was the sense of belief we had because of the way we played and the results we were picking up. But as I say, ultimately it comes down to 3 points. Just want the 3 points to get us there. But it's exciting, right? I mean, Jim Moore always says, you know, that this is what you live for. Absolutely. You know, it's exciting.
Embrace it. That's what Jim says. Embrace it. Right, yeah. I really enjoyed that, Double Denim, and a couple of guest appearances from your dog as well. That was really enjoyable. Hey, all are welcome. All are welcome. Thank you, everybody, for getting involved. Give us a thumbs up. We're about to announce our next big show in Glasgow. So watch this space, check us on the social media channels, and also the winner of the competition, get in touch with me either on social media or via email. It's pauljohndykes@gmail.com. And we'll get a prize sent out to you as well. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved. Join us again for the game half an hour before kickoff. And all that's left for me to say, Chris McIlwain, a.k.a. Double Denim, thank you for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, guys.
Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.